Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody. On a Wednesday night, we have a live conversation here, and we want to talk about the difference between. We got a young lady by the name of Tracy. I call her Tracy, a woman that loves God. Go ahead, Sister Tracy. Take a look.
No potatoes.
Good evening. I'm glad to be here. And tonight's talk. My name is Tracy Harding, and tonight's discussion, I've been worshiping. I've been worshiping the Lord and really trying to come up with a topic. And the topic that I've come up tonight with is the actual topic of worship. Many people have hear that phrase and hear that term, but really, do you really know and understand what the Bible has to say about worship? What is it? Worship is an act of honor. It's an praise and reverence. It's reverence for God. It's honor to God. It's praises to God as a result of who God is. Our first account of worship, we see it in Genesis 4:4, where Abel and Cain were giving offerings to God. Abel's offering was accepted. The Bible says Abel's offering was more a more excellent sacrifice than Cain's, but Cain's offering was rejected. And I would often think, why was Cain's offering rejected? Why was his offering rejected? I have heard some people say, well, that's because instead of giving an animal sacrifice, he gave sacrifices from the ground, because Abel was a shepherd and Cain was a tiller of the ground. But as I discovered, in studying deeper on this topic of worship, I found out that it was not so much as Cain giving offerings of from fruits and vegetables, because that was his first fruit, but it was more a heart issue. God, he looks at what you give, but God looks at the heart behind the gift. More importantly than the externals of what you do, but God looks at your heart, your motives, your intentions. Why you're doing what you do is often is what God looks at. Malachi 1:11 says, a pure offering is what he commands and deserves. And the reason he gives is that he said, for my name shall be great among them. You see, God wants us to understand that you're not dealing with anybody. You're dealing with a great king. You're dealing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and his name shall be hallowed. His name shall be held in high esteem. His name shall be great. And when you come to worship him, that will be shown in your worship. Malachi 1:14 says, because I am a great king. You're not dealing with, you're dealing with the true and the living God, the one who created the heaven and earth, and he demands our respect. In Malachi 1:13, God reveals the heart, the reason why an offering would be accepted and a reason an offering would not be accepted. The children of Israel during that time were giving animal sacrifices. That was when they had the temple, and they were giving animal sacrifices and grain offerings. And such. And so God revealed in Malachi 1, the first chapter, what was actually going on in their hearts when they were giving. He also talked about the type of offerings that they were giving. He said that they were giving, let me read in chapter 1, verse 8, he says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, Is that not evil? The children of Israel, they were offering sick animals. They were offering lame animals. And they were offering substandard offerings to the Lord God Almighty. And that that was not acceptable to God. And he went on to correct them, and he said, why don't you try, in verse 8, he says, why don't you try and offer that to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord? So what God is saying to them is, you try going and to a high official in Israel, like a prime minister or a governor or someone. You try half-stepping with them or disrespecting with them and see how far that gets you. And he said, so if you would not respect a man, if you would respect a man, how much more should you respect God? But he reveals their hearts and why their offering was not accepted. It says in verse 13, it says, oh, they were saying in their hearts, oh, what a weariness. And he says, and they sneered at my offerings, meaning they, with their face, even their facial expression revealed that they just couldn't, they were just tired and could not stand giving the offerings. And so as a result of their hearts being wrong towards God and having the wrong mindset and the wrong attitude, well, you know, they just did whatever. They just gave whatever. It's a perfect example of, let me try to explain it this way. When you love someone, you're going to go out of your way to demonstrate and show them that you love them. It's the same as you're throwing a party to your for your husband or your wife, you know, and you get the best cake, you bake the cake yourself, get them a nice gift that's well thought out. You may want to take them to a nice restaurant. You may rent a limousine. You may, if you can afford it, you may rent a singer for the night. I mean, you dress real nice. You smell real good. You went all out for that person. Why? Because that person means something to you. That person is dear to your heart. And so when you honored that person, you did not hold back any strings. You went all the way out to do whatever needed to be done to honor that person. Well, it's the same concept with God. When you're coming to worship God and to show your thankfulness and your appreciation to him, the way in which you worship him and the offerings that you give to him is an indication of your heart towards him. So Cain, it was not necessarily so much that Cain gave grain offering or fruit offering, but it was his heart towards God that made God reject him, because God asked him the question, if you do well, would you not be accepted? If you do well, would you not be accepted? Of course you'd be accepted if you do well, but if your heart is not right towards God, I can't overemphasize that, then it will show in your behavior. Now, we don't give goat sacrifices and sheep sacrifices and grain sacrifices today, but there are different ways. We worship God differently, but we worship God nonetheless, and God takes into account on how we worship him. The gift that we give is accepted based on the attitude behind the gift. The Bible says that, you know, man may look at the outer appearance. Man does look at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. So over and over again, God is emphasizing to his children, it's not the size of the gift or the amount of the gift, but the attitude and the motive and the intention behind the gift. Why did you give what you gave? You know, what was your motive? How do you really feel in giving? Because God loves a cheerful giver, which means if you're not happy with giving, you know, you might as well keep it to yourself, because God knows if you're not happy with giving. Give from your heart and give give unto the Lord with all your heart. Matthew 15:8 says, and this is very important, it says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That's Matthew 15:8. And we can, you know, what God is saying here is people can give lip service. And you may see people in the church. I mean, it may appear to us, they really love God. Oh, this sister so-and-so gave this offering. Oh, she really loves God. And their prayers are so beautiful, and their prayers are so eloquent. But God says, but their heart is far from me. Again, we're looking at the outer appearance, but again, God turns our attention once again that he's looking at the heart. He says, their heart is far from me. That's all pretension. That's all false. That's all for show. And that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a sincere heart, a genuine heart, to come before me, to worship me. And that worship will be accepted. So God is looking at the heart behind the gift. I like in Luke, the account in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, and Mark 12, verse 4 to 41, when the Bible is speaking about the widow with the two mites, Jesus sat and observed. The Bible says that the Pharisees, they gave big amounts of money. They gave big amounts of money. But this widow, the Bible says, she only had two mites. And the Bible says that Jesus sat opposite the treasury and observe how the people put in money. Now, that's very important. That is not a typographical error. You would think it would have read, "And Jesus observed what the people put in." No, it was not. Again, Jesus is not looking at whether you put in $500 or $1,000 or $10 million. Jesus is looking at the heart behind the gift. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they put in lots of money to impress. And really, when you're trying to impress someone, you're doing it to bring glory to yourself. When you're giving like that, you're giving big amounts of money so everybody can see, "Look at what I've done for the Lord. I am so virtuous. Praise me." But God is a jealous God. And God, again, is looking at the heart. He knew that they were giving for show. And then he looked at the widow with the two mites. Now, a mite is a very small copper coin worth a fraction of a penny. It's not even totaling up to a penny. It's worth only a fraction of a penny. So that tells me this woman did not have anything, but she gave what she had. And that lets me know that she must have really loved God. When you have someone that'll give their last, she could have went and got, you know, maybe a little bowl of soup for tonight, or maybe some in that time, or maybe some bread or something to, but she took her two little mites and she gave. Now, Jesus saw that this woman's heart was in the right place. She may not have had much to give, but She gave what she had because she loved the Lord. And I believe that if she had had more, of course she would have given. But she gave what she had, and so God said, now listen, Jesus said, he made a comment on that. He said, she put in more. He said, she put in more. Now listen, how can she have put in more money when she gave only less than a penny? When these scribes and Pharisees, the Bible clearly says they gave large amounts of money. How is it that Jesus would say that she gave more money? Because God is not looking at necessarily the size of the gift. Now, I'm not saying don't give, you know, large amounts to your church. That's not what I'm saying. And don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is we're talking about worship here, and we're talking about true worship and a pure relationship with God and being true to God. God is not, again, that said, that when he said that she gave more, so it was, so God was not looking at the size of the gift. God was looking at the heart behind the gift. He was looking at the heart behind the gift. So the heart behind the gift made the gift more acceptable. It made God accept the gift. God accepted that gift, and to him, she gave more because she gave out of her heart. She gave from their heart and to glorify God, while the scribes and Pharisees gave to glorify themselves. That puts me back in my mind. I remember a long time ago when my daughter, Chi-Chi, I was feeling real bad and real down one day, just feeling like nobody cared, and I just really felt down and bad. Nobody wants to help me. Woe is me. And, you know, that was like, that had to be like 15 years ago. And I remember so clearly, I was sitting in my chair, recliner, and I was just really feeling down, just the blues. And Chi-Chi at that time was like 3 years old. And Chi-Chi, you know, she went into the kitchen and climbed up on the table and made me the sloppiest little peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm kind of only 3 years old now, but she made me the sloppiest. Jelly was coming all out the sides, and you know, with the peanut butter and jelly, you know, you spread it with a spoon or whatever, the bread is all tore up. So Chi-Chi in her heart brought, I don't know why she did it. I wasn't crying, I just felt bad. But Chi-Chi walked over with the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and handed it to me. And I tell you, I just felt, now I just tell you, I felt like nobody cared. And I feel like God moved in her heart, go make your mom a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She brought that little crumbled up, you know, raggedy peanut butter and jelly sandwich to me, and I'm telling you, I ate every bit of that raggedy peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I said, oh, thank you, Chi-Chi, thank you, that is so sweet, and a tear came down the side of my face. Why? Because at that moment, I felt like somebody cared. Now, why did I give you that personal account? Because I think that's kind of the way God sees it. God is not concerned about so much of what you give. He wants a pure peanut butter and jelly sandwich from you, from the heart. He wants something from the heart. He wants something. He wants your pure love, your genuine love. And let me tell you, there wasn't steak and it wasn't shrimp, but that was the best meal, because I knew that it came from someone that loved me and that they were trying to show me at that moment, I'm here, I love you, you know. So let's move on. And we're talking about worship. How God tells us how to worship. God lets us know, and it's when he's giving out the commandments. That's the very first thing he talks about. The first commandment is worship the Lord. And the second commandment, and don't worship any other god. Don't bow down yourself to anyone else. You can find that in Exodus, the 20th chapter. In that chapter is the Ten Commandments. The very first thing that God wants you to know about him, and the very first thing that God wants to tell the children of Israel, the very first commandment is, you worship me, I am the Lord your God. And the very second thing is, and you shall not bow down to anyone else. There are no other gods but me. So, you know, God wants us to understand that you have to. There is no divided allegiance. There is no divided worship. It's God or it's not God. It's either all or none. You're either in or you're not. Either you're in or you're out. Because in Exodus 34:14, God lets us know very clearly. He doesn't tiptoe around the subject that he is a jealous God. He says, for my name is jealous. He tells us, my name is jealous, and for you shall worship no other God. That's found in Exodus 34:14. Now, the word jealous in the Hebrew is kinah, Q-I-N-A-H, which means passion, envy, rival, zeal, anger, jealousy. God has very strong emotions, and one of the emotions is jealousy, and he's letting you know, if you want to tick me off, then you worship another god. And you know what? That's actually what the children of Israel, that's what they did. And what happened? Now, the God was very merciful and very patient with them. But as a result of them doing all this Baal worship and Molech and all of this idol worship, they were dispersed all over the world. They were dispersed. The temple was burned. They went into slavery. That beautiful temple that Solomon built was burned to the ground by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And because they couldn't get it through their head that his name is jealous. And they tempted the Lord, and they provoked the Lord, and they tried the Lord, and the Lord had to show them, you know, what's up. So God said, no idols. You do not, no idol worship. Well, how would that apply to us today? Well, an idol could be anything that consumes your time or takes you away from God. Takes you away from time with God would be considered an idol. Witchcraft and sorcery and all those things, hey, that's devil worship. That's an idol. So if you in all of that palm reading and you're going, calling the psychic hotline and all of that, remember, that is idol worship. Okay, so Even so much as you being a sports fanatic. Now, there's nothing wrong with watching sports, but again, just consider how much time you're spending with that activity as opposed to how much time you are spending with the Lord. And if you are spending any time with the Lord, you have to constantly assess yourself. We're talking about worship. The Lord lets us know that to worship him in the beauty of holiness. And you can find that in Psalms 29, verse 2. We should be striving by the power of God to walk in the light that is already given us. Holiness, walk in the beauty of holiness. Well, what is holiness? Holiness is purity. It is purity. It is sanctification. It is you're constantly changing more and more into his image. I'm not, now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying perfection, and I'm definitely not saying that this is something you can do on your own. Everything that I'm telling you tonight, you must ask God to work in you. Any area in you that is touching home, you ask God, I want to do what you're telling me to do. Help me. I want to be changed more and more into your image. Make me holy. Sanctify me and cleanse me, because I want to worship you with my whole heart, and I want my worship to be pleasing to you, and I want my worship to be acceptable to you. So it's not by your might, not by your power. It is by the Spirit of the living God that you are going to worship God in holiness. Holiness is a process, a daily process. Holiness is not perfection, because there's no such thing right now as perfection, but it is rather our willingness to be changed by God day by day. God has given you some information about yourself that he would like to see you change. Now, what you do with that information, if you go ahead and change, you're being sanctified. If you go ahead and obey and ask God to work that into your life, change that part about you, cooperate with God, get in the Word, that is the process of sanctification by the Word and by the Spirit. I have to teach the pure Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of truth. I cannot water it down. If we are living in sin, it can and it will affect our worship. Known sin, it can and it will affect our worship.
Amen.
It will affect our willingness to worship, and it will affect God's acceptance of our worship. Because the Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice. Do what I say. To do what I tell you to do is better than all your worship. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But how much time do I have left, Dr. Hunter?
15 more minutes.
Oh, okay. I thought I was right. But to obey is better than sacrifice. So how I'm tying it into when I say that if you are living in sin, known sin, and God has told you to change in a certain area, and you're refusing, okay, you're refusing, you're just going to do what you're going to do, well, I'm just going to let you know that, that affects your worship. That affects your worship, in that it can make your worship, God can turn a deaf ear to that. And I also learned that it will affect your willingness to worship. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says that God was walking through the garden, after he sinned, he went and hid himself. He no longer wanted to fellowship with God, because he had failed in sin. Sin, you're holding on to sin, creates a gap, and it interrupts your relationship with God. That is why you see some people on fire for God, and after a while they're not on fire, or you see them fading out of church, and they don't want to talk to you, and they lost their zeal. Many times it's because God has put his finger on an area in their life and they don't want to stop, and they don't want to quit, and they don't want to change. And as a result, the passion dies out for the Lord. It affects your relationship with God. Remember that. Remember that. It affects your relationship with God. So, the Bible also says that sin separates us from God. So, and again, I have to continually reiterate, You cannot do this on your own. You have to ask the Lord, Lord, I need help in this area. Help me to change. Because God is not talking about perfection. The Lord is speaking about sincerity. You may want to change, and you keep slipping up, you keep falling and keep making mistakes. God just wants you to get back up. See, he just wants you to get back up. He's looking at, I want to change. I keep having this same problem or the same condition. I want to change, and I'm going to keep trying, Lord. And I know that by grace, I believe, by your power, that I'm going to get the victory over this. That is what God is looking for. Remember, he's looking at the sincerity of your heart. It's all about the heart with God. It's all about the heart with God. Our lifestyle is worship. The way we choose to live our lives is worship. Our posture of worship. In Psalms 95, verse 6, the Lord says, oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker. Now, the Bible also gives us how we should worship him externally. And he tells us we can lift our hands. We can kneel before him. Now, that kneel, some people cannot kneel, okay? But and kneeling doesn't mean that you're sinning if you don't kneel, but rather when you don't kneel, sometimes that means it's just a deprivation. You're depriving yourself of something more when you don't kneel at times. I'm not saying that you have to always be on your knees, but I'm saying at times the Holy Spirit will drive you to your knees. And kneeling also promotes the proper attitude in prayer.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
When you're standing before somebody great, okay, you there's a way that you enter, that you approach greatness and that you approach holiness. The prophets that were in the presence of the Lord, I mean, many of them couldn't stand. The angel had to pick Daniel up. So let me tell you, it just promotes the proper attitude. It's a demonstration of you understand who you are, and you know who you and you understand who you're standing before, who you're kneeling before. You're kneeling before a holy God. I also want to touch on this, and this is very important. This is very important. John 4:24, when we're talking about worship, because God doesn't leave us to ourselves to figure out how to worship him. He tells us. He invites us to worship, you know, but then he tells us how to worship. And John 4:24 says that God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, let me tell you something. God just told us something. He told us how to worship him. He says you must worship him in spirit and you must worship him in truth. Okay? Well, what does it mean to worship him in spirit? The spirit is the right attitude or posture. Because God is a spirit. God is a bodiless being. God has a personhood. He has intellect, will, and emotions. That's the internal man. Man has a spirit. Man has an intellect. We have will. We have emotion. God has emotion. God laughs. God gets angry. We understand that God is jealous. We have a will. We can choose. We can make decisions to do or not to do. Intellect. And so does God. So when God says to worship him in spirit, that means he's looking at our inner man, the inner being.
Yes.
The inner man. The inner being. That part of us that we cannot see but is eternal, okay? He's looking at your attitude. He's looking at your emotions. How do you feel about worshiping him? He's looking at your will. Do you want to worship him? You know, God is looking at that. What are your thoughts about your intellect? So he's saying, I want you to worship me in spirit. That means when you're in church, that should be a focus. When you're in worship, that should be a focus on God. You shouldn't be worried about what Sister Flapjack is doing. You should be tuning in to the Almighty God. And then he says, I want you to worship me in truth. And when he says truth, he's meaning, I want you to worship me according to the Word of God, correct knowledge about how to worship me, the correct knowledge about who I am. He hasn't left it to us to just try to guess on how to worship him. I've been talking for a few minutes now on exactly what the Bible says on how to worship him. And then he hasn't left in the dark. So we must worship according to the way the Word outlines that we should worship him. And as I have already went over, it should be undivided. You choose this day whom you will serve. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve your idol. You choose to worship him or start working on worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness in your lifestyle and in the choices that you make. You worship God. God is telling us he's already instructed us on the right attitude. I went over that. And a pure heart. These things, worshiping him, raising your hands, you know, lifting up your hands in the sanctuary. The Bible says praise him in the dance. Psalms 150 says praise him with the instrument. He has left no stone uncovered. He has, and this is the prescription and the doctrine in which we should worship him. So when we worship God, this is the spirit. We worship him with our heart according to the Word of God, the truth. We worship him from our heart, the spirit, according to the Word of God, truth. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. And so I'm going to close right there and open up. Anyone that has any questions, can go ahead again. My name is Tracy Harding. I'm the teacher of the Word of God, and I also invite you all to listen in on Mondays at 8 p.m. To the teachings that the Lord is giving me.
Amen. Tracy, the Lord bless you. I have all the lines open. Anybody got any questions? They want to ask you one at a time. Ask a question. God bless you.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Ms. Tracy. How are you doing? I really enjoyed your show tonight, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're really studying the Word, and I can see that the Lord is really working in you right now in your life.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Amen.
I'm called to be a steward of the Word. I take it very seriously. I get in here, and I dig with the purpose of hoping and praying that God will touch a life, change a life, helping people to really clearly understand the Word of God. It can be understood, and my goal is to break it down, to be thorough with it, so there's no question. You know, there's no question.
Well, sister, you're doing it real. You're really studying your Word, sister.
Thank you.
And who are you, my
and
brother?
My name is Willie.
Willie who?
Willie Simmons.
Willie Simmons, you're talking to Willie Hunter. How you doing, Willie Simmons?
I'm doing okay.
Good. So, heard what she said. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay. For what you heard her say tonight, did you find some way that you could add to what she said tonight?
She's speaking of the Word of the Lord. She's talking about
okay, but what,
prayer.
But
being close with God, getting to know Him, having Him, putting Him first in your life, making Him your Savior, and getting to know Him through this Word.
Amen. 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 You live in Houston?
I do.
Well, God bless you. God bless you, Willie. Willie, I want to say one thing to you. God bless you. And stay on the line and listen, because we are learning something. What do you mean? Go ahead, Tracy.
Yes, I'm here. If anyone has any
anybody
more
got a question?
Yes, hello?
Yes.
My name is Charity. I have some, like, I have one friend of mine, and she, like, she says that she rides on the fence whether or not she's Christian or like she's pretty much an atheist, you know what I mean? And she says she doesn't believe in, she says she doesn't believe in either side because she doesn't believe in afterlife. And I kind of been wanting to tell her, like, I've been trying to find a way to tell her that it's not safe to not be on the fence either.
Amen. Go ahead, somebody on the back line.
It's about over. She's doing the international stuff for this man and Dr. Hunter, so she's taking calls.
Oh, yeah.
Tracy.
Where is?
Okay. So your question is,
calling, so I keep up the good work.
How do I tell her?
Charity called and asked the questions.
How do I tell her that it's not really safe to stay on the fence about this idea? Like, how do I tell her that it's not really safe to stay on the fence about this? Because I believe that, like, I don't know, I've been taught that if you don't make a choice, then in the end the choice is made for you because you never really did any work or anything, but I don't know if that's true. I just feel like it's not safe for her to stay on the fence about things when it's clear which side, like, I feel like it's clear you have to pick sides, you know? And she feels like since there's no afterlife, she doesn't have to pick sides. She could just be on the fence and just leave it up in the air. And I'm trying to tell her that it's not good, you know what I'm saying, to leave it up in the air because that's kind of picking a side in itself. Like, I don't know how to say it to her without being offensive, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to talk to people that already don't believe in it, in God.
That's true. The first thing is, it's not true they can convince anyone it's the Spirit of God in you. So you keep this person in your prayer. That your first resolution, your first thing is praying for people, because it is not us, it is God working through us, reconciling the world unto Himself. So prayer does change things. And you can just continue to talk to her, but, you know, if the Bible tells us to choose. To not choose at all, you've already chosen. There is no such thing as I'm just not going to choose. If you don't choose God, by default you have chosen the wicked one. I mean, there's really no such thing as I'm on the fence. If a man asks you to marry him and you say, well, I don't know. What you haven't said yes, so what is that? You're not going to get married. By not saying anything, you've said it all. So she's not on the fence. In not choosing God, you have rejected Him. That's just a real eloquent, intellectual way of saying no. So
yeah.
So what you do is, you know, first of all, you pray and ask God to touch her heart, to change her heart. And Lord, when I go to her, open up her heart and help her to be receptive to what I'm saying. I cannot do this on my own. I understand that it is you that changes hearts. because man cannot change a heart. Only God can do that. But when we open up our mouths and we speak, mm-hmm. praying for them, and the Spirit of the Lord lives inside of us, God will do the work. That's all
yeah.
you can do. Keep her in your prayers. Live by example and continue to witness to her.
Okay, I have one more question. I don't try to be offensive to her whenever she asks me to go out with her, but sometimes she asks me to go out with her, and I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'll make up an excuse, I guess, but sometimes I want to tell her why I can't go out, you know, or why I don't go out these days. You know, because I'm different and I'm trying to change and everything, but I don't want to seem like I'm better than her. So I guess what's a better way to, you know, advise her or maybe get her to, you know, start changing with me, you know, on that level, like instead of, you know.
Again, it's by your example. It's by your example. And people, you know, when you're dealing with people that are hard to deal with or don't want to listen, you know, it's by your lifestyle and continue praying for them. You're praying for them, let me tell you, God is going to respond to your prayers. And they are watching you. And when they see Christ in you and the love of God in you and the change in you, it is our hope that they will change, that they will change their lives. So it's more about it.
May I say something to you, sister?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. One other thing my mother always told me, she said, when a woman tell another man, I'd like to go out with you, but I got another man I got to talk with tonight, blew my mind. When a woman tell another woman, I'd like to go out and be with you tonight or today, but I got a man supposed to meet me tonight. I got a man supposed to talk to. They ain't got to know who it is. You're talking about Jesus. You cause them to walk in to a place called there. There God will meet them. There God will love them. There they'll see the presence of God. And so they start pressing you with their questions. Tell them, say, well, no, he said he's going to come. I got to wait for them to come. So you're never stay always on the offensive. Don't stay on the defensive. Because the offensive, you can continue to make movement. When they ask a question, well, they say it was coming, but to wait on, so I got to wait on. Didn't have the Lord tell us to wait on him? Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Did that help
Thank
you,
you.
Sister?
Yes, it did. Thank you
How about
very
the other lady? Do you know the other person?
I do. I care about her a lot.
How much do you pray for her?
I'm sorry? What did you say?
How often do you pray for that person?
Usually if she's sick or if she asks me to or, you know, if she's going through something, I'll pray for her.
Now, wait a minute. Use the word that got my attention, sick. So when she gets sick and don't believe in the God, on either side, can we do something tonight on the radio station?
Yes.
Yes.
Father, this lady that's on the radio phone with me now at 0737, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus, I pray that you take us to the Father because all of our sins are being forgiven because it's in the blood that you wash us and make us clean as we go before the Father. Father, as we come into you tonight, we come thanking you tonight in the name of Jesus, and we pray for this lady that the sister loves, and we pray that the heart will change, the attitude will change, the thought process, and they will see that it's nothing but a true and a living God. I want to thank you for this young lady who's continuing to stay there in prayer for this person. I pray that many days from now, she will come and say to her, 037, will you please take me to church with you? I want to meet this man. And when she go with you, you tell us that a man I'm going to meet, his name is Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. And it is through him that I believed when you were sick, that I prayed for you and you healed. It was then you were despondent. I prayed for you and you set straight. Father, I thank you this night in Jesus' name of Nazareth.
In
amen.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You're very welcome. Yes, you're very welcome.
Amen. Let's open the line up for us. All right.
All right.
We've got a line open. We've got a line open. Let's see. One is open right now. Okay. There's a person.
You got a question.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I was calling because. Hello. We're here. Hey, I have a question. I don't know if you all. Y'all just taking random questions.
Yeah.
Can y'all hear me? Because I can barely hear y'all.
Yes, we can hear
you. Okay. So I have a question. My question is about forgiveness.
Okay.
Give me one second. Okay. So my question is it true that if you don't forgive a person, then God isn't going to forgive you? And what would y'all, not recommend, but what type of advice could y'all give me to open up a door for forgiveness for people who have hurt me?
Okay. That is scriptural. That forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's the Lord's prayer. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, which means forgive us of our offenses, Lord, the things that we have done to forgive that has offended you. We will forgive our debtors. That is very true. That you must forgive. And I'm not, you know, that's a very, I've heard this question a lot, but forgiveness is not automatic. Sometimes people have offended and hurted me in horrible ways. I mean, you can go on from murder to, you know, child molestation, done some horrible things, but the Bible tells us that we are to forgive, and there are no exceptions to that. We're to forgive, the Bible says, if we're offended in one day, 7 times 70. Now, what does that mean? When your brother offends you, 7 times 70 is 490 times in one day. Well, does that mean in 491st time in one day that I don't have to forgive him? That's not the point that Jesus is trying to make. The point that he's trying to make is it doesn't matter how many times your brother has offended you, because 490 times is really an impossible number in one day. So he's really not looking at the number, but rather trying to drive home that you are to constantly forgive people. You're to have a state and a mind of forgiveness. And I know I have been hurt many, many times in the past, and I have been hurt severely by one person, and I could not forgive that person for a while. And what I had to do, okay, I couldn't pray for that person. But I couldn't, you know, you don't forgive someone when you can't even pray for them. So my prayer to God for quite a while was, Lord, you already know my heart. This person did this to me. And in my heart, I don't forgive them, but I want you to help me to forgive them because I know that it is necessary. So help me to forgive this person. And when I would pray, that's all I could say about that person. I couldn't say anything good. I couldn't say, Lord, bless this. I couldn't say it. I know my heart. So I would just say, Lord, you're going to have to help me to forgive this person because right now I don't forgive them because they did this to me. This went on for quite a while. And I can remember one day I was praying and I was praying and something just came over me. It just, the Spirit of God just came over me so heavily, and I remember crying, and I remember saying, Lord, I forgive this person. Lord, I forgive this person. And I was just bawling like a baby, but it was the Lord answering my prayer. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon me and touched my heart in a way where I was able to eventually forgive that person. It wasn't me. It was the Lord in me, and then I was able to pray for that person. So forgiveness cannot be done on your own. You have to ask God to help you, especially when they've done something like some of the horrible sins. Now, all sins are sin, but there are some sins that are really just horrible. And God doesn't make any exception of that, and that's when you need God's help in order to forgive that person, if that helps you.
Right.
Did that help you, sister? Did that help you?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
But you got to put that.
Remember, forgiveness is spiritual. It's spiritual. And so you can't, God is asking you to do something that you cannot do on your own.
Your own.
You have to, ask God to do what you cannot do on your own, or it's not going to get done. Forgiving the unforgivable.
Because once you forgive,
you're out
of
time. Can I lead you in prayer?
Yes, you can.
Okay, repeat after me. Say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I submit.
I submit.
And I commit.
And I commit.
My way.
My way
unto you.
Submit and commit my way unto you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Father.
Amen. Father.
Father. I thank
Father,
you.
I thank you.
That everything.
What did you say?
Everything.
That everything
is according.
That everything is according.
To your will.
To your will.
But Jesus said. That he was dying. On Calvary.
On Calvary.
He said, Father. Forgive them. For they know not what they do. And I also stand.
And I also stand.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For hearing my prayer.
In Jesus' name.
I thank you.
Tonight.
Is my night. To receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In my life.
Holy Spirit.
I lift my hands. And I say, fill me.
Fill me.
Fill me.
With the power.
With the power.
That's from on high.
That's from on high.
That's from God the Father.
Awesome God the Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Say amen.
Oh,
say amen. I don't feel bad. I don't feel good. Say amen.
Amen.
I know it feels better. I know it feels better. You
okay,
even sound better.
Let go.
Amen.
You know, forgiveness, and remember this, forgiveness is not for the person. Forgiveness is for you. Because the root of, if you don't forgive that person, a root of bitterness can set in your heart, and it can fester. And, you know, that unforgiveness has been related to many different types of diseases. And I have often seen in prayer lines when the man or woman of God was going down the line praying for people that were sick with different diseases and illnesses, and they've gotten to a person with unforgiveness in their heart, and the reason why that they were not had certain diseases and could not, the doctors could not heal them was because they were holding on to what someone had done to them and had not forgiven them for years and years and years. And it developed and it festered and grew in their lives and it created, it caused these illnesses. For unforgiveness is a poison to you. So when you forgive someone, you're actually helping yourself and freeing yourself. Remember that. So it's not so as an option to forgive someone. It's for your own good and for your own being. But also remember, if you want the Father to forgive you of your sins, you must forgive your brother and sister of their offense.
I totally agree. I'm speechless.
Yeah, so just continue to pray that over your life. Lord, help me to genuinely forgive this person. And over time, you will find God's going to answer that. Now, let me tell you, God may not answer your prayer for a supermodel husband. Okay, he may just be a mediocre husband. But what God is definitely going to do from a sincere heart, when you say, ask God, help me to forgive so-and-so and so, trust me. You keep praying that prayer over your life and watch God do it in Jesus' name.
Okay, well, thank y'all.
You're welcome.
All right.
And tune in Mondays at 8 o'clock for my Bible study.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
I will. Thank y'all.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, Pastor. Pastor. Dr. Hunter.
Amen. All the lines are being open. Everybody just wait. All the lines are being open. All the lines are being open. Let's have respect. Go ahead. Everybody, one at a time, on the line. Go ahead. Hello? Hello? Hello?
God bless.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. She's dropped the line. She'll come right back and go ahead. Go ahead. You got a question?
Yes, I have a
question. You have a question? Okay, yeah. What is it, sweetheart? What is it? Go ahead. Say that again. You got a question? You just came on the line. You have a question?
No. Yes, I have a question.
Okay. Okay. Is your mother at home with you?
Because I heard Joel say that he asked Joel, did Joel have a question? Did Joel
something
to hear?
Hey, yeah. They
open
up on the line.
Yeah, y'all was on the line. I heard Joel talking about, he said you got a question. Joel talking about, no. And he said,
okay, you got
him.
A question to ask? Do you have a question to ask?
How do I get on the line?
Hello?
Yes.
Are we
yes.
on the line?
Yes, you're on the line. Go ahead. You're on the radio station. You just want to listen?
Yeah, I was listening. I don't know how I got on. I was back listening. I just asked the question.
What about me?
Uh-huh.
What happened?
Well, why are we on the line anyway? A few of the main points that you made earlier.
Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, I was asking to have it summarized. A few of the main points.
Ma'am, say it again. Go ahead.
I was just asking to have a few of the main points re-summarized because I had just joined in a little while ago.
But you got a question you want to ask. You have a question concerning the Bride of Christ?
No specific questions. You know, I was just asking to hit a few of the points.
Okay.
I'm going to just keep listening.
Okay, go ahead and ask a question.
I'm going to just keep listening to the show.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, sure. Hello. Hello. said.
Go right ahead. You got a question you want to ask? Hello? Well, tonight we just thank God for everything that God has done for us. The one of the things that Tracy was talking about, what God has done in blessing us. And telling us how to worship God, how to love God, and how to be obedient unto God. Now, a lot of people call on the line, but somehow I know, if y'all know, if you know Tracy's phone number, tell her to call back because her time is still on there. And it's still open for questions. Anybody got a question? She did a wonderful job teaching. Anybody got a question? Well, I praise God for everything God has done tonight. And a lot of people on the line needed some salvation, needed some deliverance, and that's what this radio station is about. We're not only to play games with the world, because the world does not love us. The world hates us. And I will say this with authority in the name of Jesus Christ. The more we fight the enemy with the word of God, darkness is always trying to creep upon us. We notice in one particular in the states, in the United States, today, they were warned by a man, but nobody wanted to hear. And today, the whole part of Georgia, they showed lines and lines and lines and lines of cars because somebody wouldn't hear what the man had to say. God has put this word out there to us, let us know. God is saying, see, I will say this much. There are people that live in this life today. God is calling us in this life for a purpose. It's up to us. If we want to serve God, it's up to us. But we are here as men and women of God to show you that God is available. Now, if anybody got something to say, please come on the line. The line's open. Come on. The line's open.
Amen. God bless, Dr. Hunter.
Amen.
Yes, God bless.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't get to hear actually what was ministered on tonight, but I did come on just to hear about unforgiveness.
Yes.
And that's the main purpose. One of the main purpose, God sent his son. You know, time is drawing near and time is running out. And God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whosoever that might be saved, that they may not perish. And that's what unforgiveness leads us up to. It leads us up to perishing. And God sent his son that we wouldn't have to. You know, we don't have time. Time is running out, and people want to continue to play. Play games, play with God, play with their salvation, play with their deliverance. And it's time to truly warn the people. You don't have time anymore. Jesus said in the word, his word, that the Pharisees and Sadducees, they can tell you whether it's going to be hot or cold. But they can't even tell you that time is drawing near. But he did tell us in his word that we will have signs to know that time is near, that time is winding up. And we don't have time to play. If you just look around, if people would just look around and they would see that we're living in the last days, and it behooves each and every one of us to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. people do not fear God anymore. They do not reverence God anymore. But God's wrath is for real. Hell is for real. And I'm here to warn the people of God tonight, the people that don't know God, the people that's playing church, the people that's straddling the fence. I'm here to warn you tonight. It behooves you to get it right and make it right with God. Don't allow anything or anyone to trick you out of your salvation. Don't allow anyone to rob you of your salvation. Jesus died that you might be saved. It's time to get right. Look around.
Amen.
Look around. Look around of the things that's going on in the world. Those are your signs to let you know that we're in our last days.
Amen.
And the Son of Man, he shall return. He shall return. And he's coming back for his church without a spot or a wrinkle. All this evilness, all this evil doing that people are allowing the enemy to trick them, to play with them. I'm here to tell you people, come out of darkness. Don't allow the enemy to trick you to go to hell where he's not, where he can't get out of. He knows he's going straight to hell, and he has
Amen.
No way out, no way out. But long as you got breath, you got a chance, you got a way out. And the same things that you do to try to torment others, don't you know it's going to come to you seven times stronger?
Amen.
Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled anymore. See, somebody need to start telling the people the truth. Then if you still want to play games, you still want to do your evilness, then it will be on you. But you need to know the consequences. It's just like if you know in the natural, you go out here and murder somebody. You're going to jail. Or they're going to take your life. The same thing that you're doing in the spirit, it's going to take your life the same way. Come out of that evilness. Get it
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. It's time to get right. Don't be deceived anymore. Choose to live. Choose to live. Tonight is your night to make a choice. God is waiting for your confession. God is waiting to hear your voice. And those who don't know the Lord, come on this line. Let us walk you through. But you got to believe. First of all, you got to believe that he is God. And that he gave his only son, and that Christ is the Son of God. And you got to believe it in your heart. Then you shall be saved. This
Amen.
Is a plea. Amen. This is a plea. I'm pleading with you tonight for your own soul salvation. The word of God says forbid one soul be lost. And I'm crying out tonight for that one soul because I'm here to tell you the truth. Hell is real. The fire do burn. Let's get it right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God.
Hallelujah. Yes, he is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is there no question to be asked? Are you there listening? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody got any questions that want to be asked? Something we could help to bring, we could bring somebody into a closer walk with the Lord.
Yes.
Anybody else? Tracy?
Yes, sir.
Tracy, I want to thank you for everything you've done tonight and how God used you to keep putting the word out there to the young people. We just got to get more of these young people to come to understand that we don't play with it. We love it, but we got to get more of the solidarity word into them. I thank God for what you have done tonight and what you have said and what God wants to do for you. There's one person on the line just came on. Do you have a statement or you want a prayer request or what is it?
I just have one simple question. I wanted to know what's a good tactic to use to try to get somebody to turn their life around.
Love.
Okay, I got two women on the line. I got Trey and I got Shannon. I'm gonna let them answer you. Go ahead, women.
Okay, your question is.
The question was, what are some good tips to get somebody to help them turn their life around?
Some good tips, like scriptural tips?
Just some tips to help them to get
Well, one scripture is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are a lot of texts that you can speak, but this person, do they know the Lord, or are they just backslidden, or what?
Just backslidden, yeah.
They're backslidden Christian. A lot of times, especially if they're a backslidden Christian, Satan is whooping them upside their head. And hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm still on the line.
Yeah, so that scripture is Matthew 11:28. That's a good scripture. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. And, you know, if they're weary, you know, if they're discouraged, if they're burdened, he tells you to come. He tells you to come unto him. And he won't turn you away because he's a loving God. But, you know, you can give them scripture all day, but it's the Spirit of the Lord that has to turn their heart, you know. They have to turn their heart. And so therefore you have to pray for them. You have to pray for them. If you want to see a change in a person's life, you have to pray for them. You know, things don't just happen. They happen when you pray. God responds when you pray. You lift that person up in prayer, you know, and God will hear that prayer. Oftentimes with my children, as I have been raising my children, and, you know, a person has their own mind and their own will. But God, in the hand of God, the Bible says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And as the rivers of water, oh, that's a very powerful scripture. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he wills. And what that means is God, the man's heart, not just kings, but man's heart is in God's hand. Remember that. Man's heart is in God's hand. And as the rivers of water, he can turn it, his heart, whithersoever he wills, which means whichever way he wants to. God has the power to turn your friend's heart around, but you have to pray for him. And the example that I was giving is my children, sometimes when they were doing things or in rebellion or, you know, I would get on my knees and find scripture passages that related to what I thought was going on in their lives, and I would pray for my children, and I would ask God to turn their hearts towards you and turn their hearts away from whatever they were doing. And I'm telling you, as a praying parent, it works. And it's not just for parent-child. It's for a loving Christian to another brother or sister. Your job, your primary job, because you can talk to your blue in the face. You can quote scripture to your blue in the face. But when you pray for that person, the Lord promises he will intervene and he will turn that person's heart because he has the power to do so. Many times things don't happen because God's people won't pray. So the very best thing you can do for your friend is ask God to turn that person's heart around. Turn that person's heart towards you. Draw that person to you, Most High God. So that's my comment on that. Did that help you, ma'am? Hello?
She's back on.
She's back on.
Go ahead. Yeah, she's
yeah,
back on.
Yeah, that really, really helped. That really opened my eyes and helped me.
Yes, it's the prayer, honey. It's prayer makes all the difference. Prayer is where the power is at. Power to lives. Power to change lives. It's your prayer for your expertise. You know, God calls us as intercessors. An intercessor is someone that stands in the gap. An intercessor stands between God and man. And they go to God, and they plead for that person. And God responds. So the very, you know, if you wanted to do anything for your best friend, the very best thing you could do for your friend, the most effective thing you can do for your friend is pray for your friend. And God is letting you know that friend's heart is in his hand. And he will turn that friend's heart if you will pray for him or her.
Uh-huh.
So I hope that helped you.
Yeah, it helped. It definitely helped.
Okay.
What's your name, young lady? What's your name, young lady?
Sandra.
Is she still Sandra?
Sandra. Okay. Yes, Sandra.
Yeah.
I would say to you, one of the most important things to try to win somebody to Christ or even somebody that has backslid back to Christ, first
uh-huh.
of all, is that we have to live by example.
Live by example.
It's the lifestyle that you live. Are you living a lifestyle that's what's pleasing unto God? And the second most important thing that I would tell you is that love covers a multitude.
Yes,
a multitude of sins. And that's what we have to do. Just like Jesus, he wooed us. He wooed us unto him. He loved us so much you know, regardless, we were born into iniquity. We were shaped in iniquity. But because of the love that he had for us, he died on the cross that we all may be free from sin. And that's the same thing. We all must take up our own cross. We all must die and take up our own cross and be disciples of Christ Jesus. He was the first one to show us, to be the example. How do we supposed to live? How do we supposed to walk? And that's the same thing for us. We have to be that example for our family, friends, loved ones. That's how we can win somebody back to Christ. It's living by example. And loving them where they're at. He said, I sent my son to save the world and not to condemn the world. So many times we want to condemn people. But we can't condemn people if we want to win them to Christ. We have to show them and teach them through the Word of God. And that's another thing. We got to get in the Word of God. We got to know what God's Word says to any matter. Everything that we could possibly ever think of or any question that we might ever have, God has already answered it for us. But we have to get in the Word. We have to search out the Word. Because his Word is like a hidden in a field. But we don't like the labor. We don't like the work.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Faith without works is dead. We got to work. And that's getting in the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God.
Yeah, it do.
Amen.
Can I ask you another question?
I'm sorry?
Can I ask you another question?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, can I ask you a question? Are you ready to rededicate yourself back to God?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I mean, yeah.
Amen.
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 Amen. But the confession must come forth out of your mouth. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But all we got to do, just like John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's just that simple. Long as we got a voice and got a chance to speak, we have to open up our mouths and ask the Lord to forgive us from our sins. And he's faithful to forgive us for all unrighteousness.
Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this Tyrone. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing great.
How are you, Tyrone?
I've been through a little trouble through my life. My wife, she actually...
Okay,
she,
Tyrone,
she,
excuse me, for Tyrone. Excuse me, one minute. Let us please finish with Sandra first, okay?
All right, go for it. All right, honey, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's all right. You're doing good.
Amen. Thank you. Sandra?
I'm still on the line.
Yes, ma'am. Are you ready to make a confession to the Lord?
Yes.
Okay.
Y'all helped me a lot. I really appreciate it, you know, giving me some tips and some scriptures to help me get my friend back on the right track and, you know, get that person where they need to be. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, y'all. God bless y'all. God bless.
God bless you.
God bless. Okay, Tyrone. God bless you.
All right, just hold on. I gotta get it back.
Yeah,
hold on.
Yeah. How y'all doing tonight?
We're doing great. Wonderful.
Yeah, I had a real bad thing happen to me lately. My wife, she was walking home, or she was walking to her car. About 2 weeks ago, She got
ravioli, ravioli. Mugged. Give me the formioli.
She got mugged, and what the hell was that? What was that? Anyway,
shout
she got mugged.
Flooded. I'm getting a shout out to Flooded, and
hello. Can y'all still hear
we're
me?
We're here. We can still hear you.
We're
right.
here.
Anyway, she was walking to her car one night after she got off work, and she got murdered. And I was just wondering if y'all could do a prayer for me. Because I think the devil's trying to tempt me to do some bad things right now. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what to do. I miss my wife
pick
now. She's gone.
Oh,
my wife is gone.
Definitely, Tyrone. We'll pray for you right now. In Jesus' name, we lift up Tyrone before you, Most High God. And we ask you to heal him, Lord, of the hurt. In Jesus' name, I bind the attacks of the enemy. I bind those voices, and I silence those voices that are ringing in his ear in Jesus' name. I speak peace over his life in Jesus' name. He shall not take his life. He shall live and not die. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Satan, you get your hand off of this man, his life. I thank you, Most High God, that you'll give him peace. You'll give him comfort. For you are the God of comfort. And we call on you, Father.
Yeah.
And we ask
praise
you,
the Lord.
God, to surround him, Most High God, with your love, and let him know that you love and that you care for him. Support him, Most High God, and carry him in your arms, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayer, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I just want to say one more thing. I don't think I can take this anymore. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm done with my life.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
The blood of Jesus.
The blood
Tyrone.
Of Jesus.
Dr. Hunter. Get the police
yeah.
to his house right now. Get the police to his house right now.
Okay.
Call the police to his house right now. I know that you can see the number. Please call the police to his house right now.
Okay. All right. Let me give the number. This 44.
Hey, this is Tyrone.
Tyrone,
I'm just fucking with you.
You liar, you damn devil from hell. The name of Jesus calls everything you
Dr.
have been mad on this radio station, it falls back on you in the name of Jesus. We take a power bill with you. You don't have the right. You liar. You bastard from hell. You have nothing to talk for us but liars. You go suffer for this.
My God.
Y'all niggas fell for that shit, man. What the fuck wrong with y'all niggas, man? You dumb motherfuckers fell for that shit.
Father, the blood of Jesus cover him. The blood of Jesus cover him. The blood of Jesus cover him. I got the numbers down
there. Tyrone.
The of, Father,
Tyrone.
This man tonight. I pray for him while he's walking home tonight, doing what he's doing. He's going to fall out.
Y'all some
he's
dumb
gonna meet
motherfuckers,
you
know.
He's going to
meet
you.
Y'all some dumb motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying? Y'all some dumb motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying?
The blood of Jesus.
Tyrone, don't deceive yourself. Don't be fooled by the enemy. Don't let the enemy fool you, Tyrone.
Nah, I'm
don't
not
let
sure.
The enemy,
not
don't
like
let, the, don't let
years,
the enemy
you know?
Fool you, Tyrone. Tyrone, don't let the enemy fool you, son. Please don't let the enemy fool you. Your life is precious to God. Please don't let the enemy fool you. Please don't be deceived by the enemy. Tonight's your night to get it right with the Lord.
That's right.
Nobody's fooled on this line, Tyrone. We know when demonic activity is going on. God don't leave his children blind. You need some help, Tyrone. And the only way you're going to be free is by the blood of Jesus.
Because right now you're bound.
Don't allow the enemy to deceive you. Don't allow the enemy to trick you. We are covered by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
God's not going to allow anything to happen to us. But the enemy is deceiving you. The enemy is fooling you, Tyrone. And I have to tell you the truth. I'm speaking to your soul right now. He said, forbid one soul be lost. And I love you so much. I want to see your soul saved.
Yes. In Jesus' name, we command that your soul be saved. We command that your soul be saved. Satan has to get his hands off of you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Satan, he is not yours. He belongs to the Lord. And he will be saved. For that he will be saved. That is one soul that you cannot have in Jesus' name. I rebuke you,
Hallelujah.
Satan.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. I love you, Tyrone. I love you. We love you. God loves you more.
Hello.
Sit down when I pee. There's nothing that crazy about me. I'm just taking a whiz. Mind your own biz. Why is everybody always staring at me?
Tyrone.
Hey, bro. I gotta go. Let me through. I got a go number two.
No can do. I'm taking a pee. Sitting up.
If he's not going to listen, if he's going to be disrespectful, mute his line out.
Yes.
I got it. I got them all.
Amen.
Man. I got that number. I'm going to have the FBI to check this out tomorrow. You won't be calling this line no more. Oh, no. Oh,
amen.
No.
Well,
let me
just say something. Because, see, this is what God is trying to tell us. We have to be prepared for. See, we worried about people not showing up to church. We worried about somebody's skirt too short. We worried about the wrong things. And the things that we need to be focused on is the demonic activities and things that's taking place, and it's going to get worse. We got to be fortified in the things of God, and we got to be prepared for every attack of the enemy.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Enough is enough. We're worried about the wrong things. These are the things that we need to be looking out for. Somebody's soul. How precious is somebody's soul? It's precious to God. And that's the same thing we should have in our mindset. Are we not his likeness? Are we not his image? Do we not have the characteristics and the attributes of God? Yes, we do. I cry out for that man's soul tonight. Because right now he's being deceived. He's been deceived by the enemy, and he's not the only one. So I'm crying out to every listener under the sound of our voice tonight. Don't allow the enemy to deceive you anymore. Get it right with Jesus. He's soon to come back.
And we're telling you so. Well, you see what I'm telling y'all about, beloved, what we have to tell them? The enemy is real. There is nothing playful. The enemy is real. He's real. He's a liar. He wants to use these young people that don't know nothing. They have them to think they're doing something, but they're not. They wait till certain times to get on the line. But I got this here tonight in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And I want to let them know tonight, because you walked on holy ground, you're going to pay. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all we have prayed for. If your name is in that prayer, you're going to hell. We love you, but I want to tell you something. 404 480-0-3-70. You're going to hell if you don't change your life. You're going to hell. You're on your way to hell right now. Somebody leading you, going around shooting a gun that don't even belong to you. Don't you know that the United States got people who are waiting to shoot you right now? They're waiting to shoot you. You show up to one with a gun like you try to pop at night, my brother, my sister, all that's following you, they're on that way to hell. And don't let them lead you to the gates of hell, because once you get there, they're going to say, welcome aboard. And you're going to get aboard, and before you know it, you're going to go right straight into hell. Right straight into hell. And I'm here to tell you this night, as a man of God, you have played the wrong game. And you got it down here as you being live, but you're alive. You're not alive. You're alive with hell. Hell ain't got nothing on what we done, what we're doing, because we know the God we serve. I got all these numbers that you done lined up for tonight. I promise you tomorrow I'm going to have them investigated. And I'm going to see if I can't stop y'all. Oh, why are you hanging up now? Why are you hanging up? Oh, you're hanging up now. You're scared. Oh, they're hanging up. They know I know. I'm going to do it. You will not torment anybody on this radio station. No, ma'am. No, sir. You are a liar, and you're from the pits of hell. And you have no understanding of what God has done. You lost the battle a long time before, and you lose it right now. Jesus said, the words that come out of the mouth of God, we live by the words that come out of the mouth of God. You don't have any right. You're nothing but a liar. I'm going to speak to you, said in text today, that the Lord Jesus is my author. He's the finisher of my soul. He gave himself all that he had for me. He gave it all for me. Every man, black man, white man, poor man, rich man, the president, the governor, the mayor, God is calling you right now. Sin is burning you with hell right now. And you're trying to come on and say you lie. You're nothing but a lie from hell. You got blood on your hands. It's not the blood of an innocent. You got the blood of a murderer. You got the blood of a liar. You got the blood of a thief. You're just a robber. And the Bible tells you in the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs about my son Lord. Don't go after those who hands up with blood. Don't go after them. You're too young for this. Young black men, white men, black men, red men, yellow men. You're too young for this. We love you. God loves you. BROSHT_KONY1. We got your number. We got your number live. We got your number live. But I want to let you know tonight, every time you call here, because I'm having to put a special on my phone line here, because you have the last play. But I tell you what I'm going to do. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to the name, in the name of Jesus Christ, Holy Father, we submit our way to you. We come, Father. We don't care how many times the enemy comes to attack us, but we stay thankful what you're doing. And we love you, Father. We love you, Holy Father. We know that it's you, and you're the only one can make it happen. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you have made it possible for all of us. And, Father, there's somebody on this radio right now whose heart is crying out for salvation. Somebody's crying out right now. They need to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Father, while all these lines are blocked up, these are the ones we declare. The blood of Jesus be over them, around them, and through them. May their eyes be opened. May their ears be understood. May their hearts come out. Father, I want to thank you tonight. I want to thank you for tonight, Father, for the fire that you have placed on Tracy, Project, placed on Shanna, on Hunter. Father, we just believe tonight that we have the right to walk in heavenly places and to announce the word of the living God. Satan, you lost the battle. You lost, Satan. We having fun because you lost. Ain't nothing you can do to us. We know. You can no longer hurt any more young people. You're nothing but you go around killing young babies. You're a murderer from the mother's womb. You're a homosexual. You're a lesbian. You're a thief. You're a robber. You all that the Bible speaks to in the book of Revelation. And God told me to tell you. He said, and when you get a chance, you know the words, you think you know it. Go to the book of, hallelujah, Father. Go to the book of Luke, 22nd chapter, and go down to the verses 20 and 29. Well, Jesus said, I give you a kingdom. Just as I give to my Father, I give it to you. We got a kingdom. We ain't worried about none of this. We ain't worried about none of this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. That's an indication that the word of God is going out. That's an indication that something is happening. When the devil starts attacking, he doesn't want this word to come out. He doesn't want the pure word of God to come out.
Now, you saw your own self how you attacked it tonight. I got these numbers down.
You know what? That, to me, that's a compliment because he feels like he's being threatened.
But he knows I'm not going to be threatened.
He's being threatened because the good word of God is getting out, and he's trying to stop it.
Yeah. And we have overcome. We have overcome him. There's nothing we can do. Praise
if
the
we
Lord
will, if we will.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you know what, Tracy?
Yes, sir.
I want to thank God. I'm going to send you, take notice. Take notice, get this in.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Hold on.
Okay.
You got it? You read it? Can you see it? I'm sending you something. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom. 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 Okay.
Okay.